Okay, I'm here with special teams coordinator Danny Smith. Rules question for you first. Let's start with this. Okay, you line up to go for two. So the ball's on the two-yard line, and there's a false start penalty or some five-yard penalty. Okay, can you then say, we don't want to go for two anymore, assess the penalty, we're going to kick it?
Well, if you were going to go for two and you get that penalty, defensively, you'd move it half the distance to the goal and get
no,
it.
No, no, no.
So you're saying it's on the offense.
Yeah, you're on offense. You're going for two.
Until the ball snapped, you have the ability to decide what you want to do.
So then they would assess the penalty from the 15.
Likewise, same way.
Right.
We got a PAT from the 15.
Yeah.
They jump.
Okay.
We could say now we want to go for two half the distance to the goal.
Okay. All right. Now, blocked another kick, Thursday night game. Field goal. Let me ask you this about blocking a kick like that, a placement kick. Is it, when you do it well or successfully, is it more about attacking the kicker and how he goes through his job or the protection and how that works?
It's a good question, and really it's a combination of all of it, you know. And that's why, to be honest with you, one of the craziest terms in our game, when I hear announcers say chip shot, chip shot. Anytime there's an operation, it ain't a chip shot. When a ball's sitting on a golf course and it's laying there still and you got a club in your hand, that is a chip shot, okay? And I don't know a damn thing about golf. But when there's an operation involved, there's no chip shot. So to answer your question, it affects the snapper. It affects, you know, you're studying the protection, you're studying hand placement, you're studying foot placement, you're studying how quick they get their feet down, you're studying matchups, you know, with size, I mean, as far as weight and height. You're studying the operation, you know, with the holder, with the kicker, what's the timing of their process. There's a whole lot involved to set up an opportunity to get one of those. And our guys did a great job. I mean, we got a great jump on the ball. You know, the hand placement is critical, you know, to have your hand up at the right time. And T.J. Watt got it, and we had good penetration. And he's a hell of a player, and it was a hell of an individual feat on his part, and it was a great play.
What makes a guy good at that?
Well, you know, I mean, it's my job to set them up in situations where they can be successful. So you're looking for matchups where they have a chance to be successful. And then they have to have the ability to do it too, you know. And what I said about hand placement, you know, and we're pretty good at that. And we got guys that are pretty good at that. You know, there's a time to get your hand in the air to get it. And some guys are late with that sometimes and, you know, have penetration and don't get balls. Some guys start running right off the snap with their hand up, which means they ain't running real fast, you know, with their explosion. So it's a knack to do those things. And we have a few guys that are pretty good at it.
What you've also had a couple of examples of this year, when you've had kicks blocked, you've had guys run it down. Vance McDonald saved some points in Chicago. Jesse James and Jordan Berry kind of teamed up in Indianapolis. You can't practice that, obviously, right? I mean, how do you go over that? How's that work?
Well, we do go over all those situations, okay, but they're individual efforts, and that's a standard with the Pittsburgh Steelers, to be quite honest with you. No play is over till the official blows the ball dead. And we play like that. It's instilled here. That was here before I got here. And there's a standard of the Pittsburgh Steelers and how they play the game. And those guys, you know, showed great examples of that and how that works and how it can be successful when you do. So it's a rallying point, you know, in a negative play turned into a positive situation. And, again, I credit this organization, honestly, with that, because that's the standard when I got here that was set long ago by the players that were here in the great years, you know, in this great organization. And it's carried on by our players today.
You know, you want to work hard, and that's what you're describing, but you also want them to work smart. So, I mean, is there any teaching that you do to help them, you know, get that guy on the ground? I mean, is there any kind of – I want technique.
Well, there is, you know, and the first thing is understanding the situation. You know, really, you got to understand the rule. You got to understand the situation to be able to go, you know, at full speed to do those things. So we cover those in meetings, you know. We put them in those situations. I show clips of tape of that, you know, in those scenarios. What are you going to do if, you know, what happens here and stuff like that. So we do practice it. We do work it. You know, we do bring it to their attention. And, again, once you understand the situation and understand the rule, you can, you know, it allows you to play the game faster. And those guys in those particular situations play the game pretty fast.
Okay, now you're punting the ball. Are all punts directionally kicked?
Not all of them, you know. I mean, and it's a difficult thing to do, you know, to put the ball on the right side or put the ball on the left side, you know. And it affects protection as well. But the return game, if you look at the long returns, you know, over a season and over several seasons as we have, you know, balls in the middle of the field are dangerous, dangerous things with the returners in this league. You give them a two-way go, you know, and all those types of things that could happen to you. So it's a more effective way to put the ball to the right or to the left. Again, you're studying returns. Are they returning to the boundary? Do they like to go to the field? Is the guy capable of going to the field? You know, you got guys like Tyreek Hill, and you, I don't care where you put the damn ball. It's dangerous. But some guys you can, you know, pin in situations. Some guys you can't. So, you know, it's all involved in the game plan.
In terms of what you find acceptable when you're watching video of your punt team, how close – if you're watching video and the returner catches the ball, at that precise moment, if you would stop it, how close should the coverage be in order for it to be an acceptable?
Well, you know, you'd like a guy outside, you know, who we call the gunners, to be in, you know, his framework at that time, you know, taking a shot, so to speak, you know, is what we call it. You know, go throw, go take a shot, you know, go bounce him. You may win. You may bounce him. You may, you know, make him spin. You may make him change direction. You know, a lot of different things. So the gunners, you know, should be there first because they are the only guys, the two end men on the line of scrimmage, are the only guy that's allowed to leave in the National Football League at the snap of the ball. The rest of the guys can't go anywhere until the ball's punted anyway. So they're down there a little bit slower. But there's not really a particular yard line. If we're not close enough, I get on the punter's butt because he's got to give us more hang time, to be honest with you. You know, and that involves, you know, a lot of things. So the punter's hang time is critical to the amount of distance between the catch point and the coverage based on how long he gives us to get there.
Right, but what would you consider acceptable distance?
I consider acceptable distance. I'm up in your face and you get a fair catch, and we've just punted that thing 45 yards. That's what I consider acceptable.
Okay, return and kickoffs. How do people know who to block?
Well, you know, I mean, we design that, you know, each week, you know, of who we have. And, again, that's matchups. You see guys playing different positions because it's a game of matchups, you know. And you'll see some guys switch at different times because of matchups. It's not smart, and I just pick a name, you know, to put L.J. Ford, who's on our front line, to put him on a DB, okay, that's inside. I mean, he's not going to win those situations a lot of times with his foot speed. Now, I'm not just saying him in particular, but anybody. I'm just talking about linebacker on DB. So you might see a switch for him to get on a tight end, for him to get on a linebacker that's a better matchup for him. That isn't an automatic win either. You know, it's my linebacker against your linebacker, and let's go. So, you know, it's designed on who has who, and it's involved with the game of matchups.
I know you chart all this kind of stuff, and it's now been a couple of seasons, so you have a decent sample size. Maybe we're getting into late November. See, kickoff returns now, will we see more of them as it gets colder?
You know, I think you do, you know, and I think you do in our division, you know, and to be, you know, honest with you, the number ranges right around 50%. Okay, a couple of weeks ago when I did it, you know, and I do it every couple of weeks, it was 57%. Are coming out, coming not. And again, just one thing educationally in this deal. You look at a guy's average, okay, kickoff return average, it really means nothing, to be honest with you. What I mean by that is if a guy's taking it 8 yards deep, all right, and puts the ball at the 20-yard line, he's got a 28-yard return average, and you say 28's pretty good because 25 is pretty good. I'm not talking about yard line. I'm talking about average now, okay? So 28-yard return, that's pretty good. But he's putting the ball at the 20-yard line. When if he'd have sat it down, he'd have got it to 25. And we're a great example of that. Our yard line starting point is better than it was a year ago because we're being smart when we do and when we don't. And as opposed to bringing those balls out, getting it like that all the time. So a guy's putting the ball at the 20 when he could have it at the 25, that ain't a good return to me. But his average says 28, and that says good. So it's a real distorted number. I would like the NFL to not count that yardage until you cross the goal line. So now that's a 20-yard average ball at the 20. When you got 20 yards of real estate, you got 28, you got 8, you treading on water because you ain't going nowhere. You're just coming out of the end zone. I hope that makes sense because it is a big difference. And, again, our average is not good enough, okay, right now. It's got to be better. But our yard line is pretty good by NFL standards.